Most people go through life believing that the world is fixed, that reality is something they must adapt to, not something they can shape. They wake up each morning reacting to circumstances, unaware that the greatest power they possess is not in their hands, but in their thoughts. Because the truth is, your mind is not a mirror of the world, it's the mold that shapes it. And the moment you understand that, truly feel it, not just as an idea, but as a lived reality, you stop waiting. You stop wishing. You begin to command. This isn't about fantasy or magical thinking. It's about learning to direct the force that governs every step you take, every decision you make, every outcome you attract. It's about understanding that thought is not weak. It's not invisible. It's not passive. Thought is active. Thought is creative. And thought, when it becomes belief, when it's sharpened by clarity and repetition, becomes law. The law that governs your results. The law that bends the world quietly, silently, but surely in your favor. If you've ever felt like life keeps pushing you back, if you've ever wondered why your dreams stay distant no matter how hard you try, this episode is for you. Because the answer isn't out there. It's in here. In the way you think. In the words you repeat to yourself. In the identity you silently carry. And once that changes, everything else does too. Most people never stop to ask a simple, terrifying question. What if the thoughts I think every day are quietly building the life I'll be forced to live? Not tomorrow, not next year. But right now, in the background, every single thought, belief, and inner dialogue is placing bricks along the road ahead. And yet, we treat thinking as if it were harmless, as if it were just noise. We let doubt speak without resistance. We let fear shout without permission. And we repeat old ideas, most of them borrowed, outdated, or self-defeating, until our subconscious begins to believe that this is all life will ever be. But what if we've misunderstood the very nature of thought? What if thoughts aren't passive? What if they're not whispers, but commands, silent instructions to life itself? Instructions that shape how we see, how we speak, how we act, and ultimately, what we allow ourselves to become. Your thoughts are not isolated. They ripple outward, shaping your energy, your language, your posture, your expectations. And little by little, they begin to shape how others see you, how opportunities respond to you, how challenges either crush you or sharpen you. That's why the first shift, the one that changes everything, doesn't happen in the world. It happens in your mind. Let me be very clear. The world does not respond to your potential. It responds to your belief. You might be brilliant, gifted, capable beyond measure, but none of that matters if you walk through life doubting yourself. The world cannot reflect a power you don't claim. It can't offer you results that your mind rejects. Life mirrors your dominant thoughts. Not your dreams, not your good intentions, not your wishes, but the ideas you rehearse in silence when no one is watching. That's why it's not enough to hope. You must decide. You must declare what you want and then think like it already belongs to you. Because thought is the first act of creation. It's the blueprint, the foundation. And when your thoughts are precise, consistent, and emotionally charged, they begin to reprogram the subconscious. And once that happens, everything changes. Most people believe change starts with action, but that's only part of the truth. Action without belief is mechanical, empty. It burns out quickly, but belief, pure, focused belief, is what sustains action. It's what drives persistence. It's what gets you back up after the fall. And it all begins with the thoughts you allow to take root. Thoughts become beliefs. Beliefs become identity. Identity becomes behavior, and behavior becomes destiny. That's the chain. And the beginning of that chain is 100% in your control. This is why mental discipline is not optional. It's survival. If you don't learn to guard your thoughts, life will plant weeds in your mind. The news will plant fear. Social media will plant comparison. Past trauma will plant doubt. And slowly, without realizing it, you'll live a life that doesn't belong to you. A life shaped by everything outside of you, because you never took the time to shape it from within. But the moment you decide to take ownership of your thinking, you begin to reclaim your life. You become intentional. You become the architect. You stop reacting to life and begin to influence it. You begin to move with clarity instead of confusion. Confidence instead of hesitation. Vision instead of survival. So ask yourself now, what are the thoughts I've been repeating lately? Are they strengthening me or weakening me? Are they bold or uncertain? Are they clear or chaotic? Because no matter how small they seem, your thoughts are steering the entire ship. And it's time to take the wheel. Your mind is not your enemy. It's your greatest ally, if you know how to command it. The thoughts you speak, even silently, are the beginning of every success and every failure. So start thinking in a way that builds. Start thinking in a way that leads. Start thinking in a way that makes life look at you and say, "He knows where he's going. Let's move the world for him." We often hear people say, "I want to succeed," or "I hope it happens for me someday." But what they don't realize is that wanting is not enough. Hoping is not enough. Even talent, drive, and hard work, though necessary, are not enough on their own. Beneath all achievement, before effort ever begins, there is something deeper, something more subtle, but infinitely more powerful. It is belief, not a passing thought, not a vague wish, but a deep-rooted conviction, so firm, so alive, so emotionally fused into the mind, that it begins to change your relationship with the world around you. Belief is not something you hold. It's something that holds you. And belief doesn't begin in the conscious mind. It begins in repetition. It begins in what you choose to tell yourself every day, especially when the evidence around you doesn't yet agree. Your subconscious is not a judge. It doesn't filter or analyze or question. It simply receives. It listens. It accepts whatever is repeated with feeling. And once something is accepted at the subconscious level, it starts pulling your behavior, your perception, your focus into alignment with that belief. That's how we build confidence. That's how we rewire fear. That's how we rise when others hesitate. It always begins in thought, repeated, emotional thought. The reason most people fail is not because they are unworthy or incapable. It's because they try to act without first believing. They take steps while still carrying doubt. And doubt poisons every effort. It distorts clarity. It whispers hesitation. And even if you do succeed momentarily, that doubt, like a silent saboteur, undermines the result from within. That's why people start businesses, but self-sabotage the moment they feel too successful. That's why they find love, but push it away when it feels too real. Deep down, they didn't believe they were worthy of what they achieved. And the mind will always find a way to return to the level of belief you hold about yourself. That's the ceiling. And it's invisible, but absolute. True belief, however, is different. It is not blind. It's not reckless. It's rooted in decision, in clarity, in the willingness to stand by an inner truth, even when the outer world disagrees. Napoleon Hill once wrote that belief backed by desire is a force so powerful it can literally transform physical reality. Edison believed the light bulb was possible before it was. The Wright brothers believed flight was possible before a single man had left the ground. It wasn't logic that led them, it was belief. Logic catches up later, but belief moves first. So the question is, what do you believe about your future? Do you believe you're capable of greatness, or are you still carrying the script someone else handed you years ago? Because until you change that internal script, no amount of motivation or strategy will stick. You'll bounce from goal to goal, always doubting, always stalling, always secretly expecting failure. But when belief takes root, real, deep, emotional belief, everything begins to change. You see new paths, you feel new energy. You begin to act not from fear, but from power. And that power is magnetic. People feel it. Opportunities respond to it. Life rearranges itself around it. And here's the most important part. Belief is a choice. It's not something you wait to feel. It's something you declare. Even when your voice shakes. Even when the old doubts rise. You keep repeating the truth you've chosen. You speak it. You write it. You walk in it. And the more you do, the deeper it sinks. Until one day, you realize you're no longer trying to believe, you just do. And from that point forward, nothing is the same. Your posture changes, your energy changes, and results begin to follow. Not because the world changed, but because you did. Belief is the seed of all achievement. Without it, even the most beautiful dreams die in silence. But with it, even the most impossible visions begin to breathe. So plant the right seed. Water it daily with thought, emotion, and action. And then watch what grows. You won't just chase your goals, you'll attract them. Most people treat faith as a soft word, something vague and spiritual, something whispered when logic is exhausted and there's nothing left to hold on to. But that's not the kind of faith that moves mountains. That's not the faith we're talking about here. The faith that reshapes your life is not passive. It doesn't wait, it doesn't beg, and it doesn't ask permission. Real faith is power. It is a decision carved into stone. It's the inner declaration that says, "What I see in my mind must happen in the world," and then proceeds to act accordingly. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of opposition, regardless of delay. This is the kind of faith that men like Henry Ford lived by. He didn't wait for the approval of experts before deciding the automobile would become reality. He didn't ask the masses what they thought before pouring every ounce of energy into a vision that had no proof behind it. What he had wasn't evidence, it was certainty. A certainty so deep that it bled into every decision he made, every step he took. That certainty didn't come from the world. It came from within. And that's where all true change begins. Faith isn't the absence of fear, it's the refusal to obey it. You can feel uncertainty, you can feel doubt knocking at the edges of your mind. But when you choose faith, you say, "I see what I want. I know who I am, and I will walk forward anyway." That's not naivety, that's courage. And it's the kind of courage that commands results, because the world responds not to the timid, not to the hesitant, but to those who speak and move with conviction. Every major breakthrough in history was preceded by someone who believed first and proved second. They acted before the world caught up. Think about it. How many times have you talked yourself out of something before even trying? How many times have you waited for signs, for support, for a perfect moment that never came? We've been taught to let conditions dictate our confidence. But faith flips that logic. Faith says, "I create the conditions. I lead the energy. I move first, and life follows." That shift changes everything, because now you're no longer asking life for permission. You're setting the terms. But here's the catch. Faith isn't built in a day. It's forged daily, deliberately, in your thoughts, your language, your posture, and your habits. Every time you choose to speak your vision instead of your doubt, you strengthen that faith. Every time you act, not out of fear, but from belief, you wire your mind to expect success. And expectation is everything. The mind is always scanning your behavior, your tone, your focus, asking, is he serious about this? And once it senses that you are, it begins to direct resources, mental, emotional, and even physical, toward fulfilling that command. But faith without discipline is just noise. That's why the people who get what they want aren't just dreamers, they're disciplined dreamers. They wake up each day and rehearse their vision like it's law. They don't adjust their belief based on the weather or their mood. They don't shrink when results don't show up immediately. Because they understand the law of gestation, every vision takes time to mature. You don't plant a seed and demand fruit the next morning. You water it, you protect it, you trust it, and you never ever speak against it. The truth is, most people don't fail because they lack the ability. They fail because they lack faith. They stop believing halfway through the journey. They allow circumstances to dictate their narrative. But the ones who win, those rare few, are the ones who decide that the image in their mind is more real than the opinions of the crowd. They make that image their reality, not just through action, but through unshakable belief. And that belief becomes a force the world cannot ignore. So if you want to rise, if you want to finally step into a life that reflects your potential, stop asking if it's possible. Decide that it is. Begin to speak, walk, and think like someone who already holds the outcome in their hands. Because faith isn't soft. It isn't gentle. It's fierce. It's commanding, and when you live with that kind of faith, unapologetic, deliberate, relentless, circumstances don't decide your future anymore. You do. There is a principle so simple, so deceptively obvious, that most people overlook it entirely. It's this: life responds to the signals you send, not the words you speak, not the goals you write down in a notebook, but the energy you embody every day. And perhaps the most powerful way to shift that energy is to live as if the result you want is already yours. Not as a game of fantasy, not as some shallow trick to fool the mind, but as a disciplined state of being. To act as if is to train life how to treat you. It is to instruct your mind, your body, and your environment to align with a new identity, even before the results arrive. The world does not reward potential, it rewards expression. The way you carry yourself, the way you move through space, the tone in your voice when you speak about your future, these are not background details. They are blueprints. When you begin to act, speak, and make decisions from the place of who you are becoming, not who you've been, you begin to activate a kind of internal shift that the external world can't ignore. People respond differently. Opportunities behave differently. And more importantly, you begin to think differently. You begin to expect differently. You start making decisions not out of doubt, but from clarity. Not to survive, but to grow. But here's the catch. This way of living takes courage, because you'll be tempted to shrink back, to wait for results before you give yourself permission to believe. But that's not how real transformation works. Results don't come before belief. They follow it. When you act as if you already are the person you're becoming, you collapse the distance between where you are and where you want to be. You begin to remove the mental lag, the hesitation, the fear, and in doing so, You begin to draw the future toward you, faster than logic says you should. Think about the version of yourself who already lives the life you want. How does he speak? How does he dress? How does he respond to challenges, to setbacks, to victories? Does he doubt himself constantly? Does he seek permission? Or does he move with quiet certainty, rooted in vision, not in circumstance? When you begin to act in alignment with that version of yourself, you're not pretending, you're practicing. And practice builds identity. Identity builds consistency, and consistency builds results. Most people act like who they used to be. They repeat the same conversations, the same self-doubt, the same emotional reactions, day after day, expecting life to somehow offer them something new. But life is obedient. It reflects what you insist upon. If you act from scarcity, it gives you more lack. If you move with doubt, it gives you more delay. But if you act from conviction, from a place of already being, already holding, already embodying your vision, it has no choice but to match that energy over time. This is not about arrogance or denial. It's about alignment. Acting as if doesn't mean ignoring where you are. It means not being trapped by it. You can acknowledge the struggle without bowing to it. You can be honest about your current reality while still choosing to act from a higher identity. Because when your actions reflect your future, not your past, you start to elevate the entire trajectory of your life. You move from reaction to creation, from drifting to deciding. There is a kind of power that comes from walking into a room, not with ego, but with presence. A presence shaped by belief. Not loud, not forceful, but unmistakable. And that presence isn't earned by waiting for others to see you. It's built by how you see yourself. So start seeing yourself clearly. As someone who is not hoping, but deciding. As someone who isn't asking, but acting. And every time you take a step in alignment with that identity, the world pays attention. So from this moment on, stop living in the gap between who you are and who you want to be. Close that gap with action, with posture, with thought. Live as if your vision is inevitable. Because to act as if is not to fake it. It is to claim it. And when your thoughts, speech, and behavior unify behind that claim, life doesn't resist you. It adapts to you. The word impossible is one of the most dangerous lies ever spoken. It wears the costume of realism, disguising itself as wisdom, maturity, or even caution. But what it really is surrender, a quiet, socially accepted form of giving up. And the tragedy is that so many people believe it. They don't just believe it about the world, they believe it about themselves. They let past failures, external voices, and temporary setbacks sculpt a permanent view of what is or isn't achievable. But the truth, harsh, liberating, and undeniable, is this. Nothing is impossible to the mind that believes. Not because belief magically erases resistance, but because belief alters how resistance is interpreted. Most people see an obstacle and think, this means stop. But those with belief see it and think, this means I'm close. Belief turns the impossible into inevitable, not overnight, but over time. It rewires how you respond to difficulty. It teaches your nervous system not to retreat at the first sign of friction, but to push through it with a calm, relentless force. And this shift isn't poetic. It's powerful. It's what built bridges, cured diseases, landed men on the moon. Not certainty, not comfort, but belief. Take Thomas Edison. The world remembers his success, but few understand the mental clarity that allowed him to withstand over 10,000 failed attempts at creating the light bulb. Most people would have stopped after 10, maybe 100. But Edison never saw those failures as confirmation of impossibility. He saw them as progress, because in his mind, the outcome was already decided. The light was coming. His job wasn't to question it, it was to find the path. And that is what belief does. It makes the goal non-negotiable. It shifts the conversation from if to how, from hesitation to commitment. Now ask yourself, what have you quietly decided is impossible for you? What dream have you buried beneath layers of doubt and rationalization? Maybe you've told yourself you're too late, too inexperienced, too broken, too far behind. But those are not facts. They are beliefs. And if you can build beliefs that shrink you, you can build beliefs that liberate you. Because belief is not something you have, it's something you choose. And that choice changes everything. When you begin to believe with your entire being, not just with words, but with thought, emotion, and action, you create momentum. You start doing things differently. You speak with more certainty. You show up with more energy. You recover faster when things go wrong, and the people around you notice. Doors begin to open. Resources appear. Connections are made. Not because the universe suddenly favors you, but because belief positioned you to act in ways that pull those results closer. But this kind of belief doesn't come from hype. It comes from proof. And that proof starts small. It begins the first time you keep a promise to yourself. The first time you do something uncomfortable and don't run away. The first time you silence the voice that says, "You're not enough," and replace it with, "Watch me." Every moment like this adds weight to your belief, and eventually it becomes so heavy, so grounded, that doubt can no longer move it. It becomes who you are, not a wish, not a performance, but a quiet certainty. So if the world around you is telling you to be realistic, to aim lower, to settle for less, listen carefully, not to them, to yourself, and ask, "What do I really believe is possible for me?" If the answer feels small, hesitant, or filled with limits, it's time to rebuild. Not just your habits, but your vision. Not just your routine, but your identity. Because nothing is more powerful than a person who truly believes they can, and then acts accordingly. The impossible only exists until someone proves otherwise. Let that someone be you. Don't wait for permission. Don't wait for perfect timing. Start with belief. Feed it daily with thought, action, and repetition. Refuse to speak against it. And one day you'll look back and realize that the very thing you once feared was impossible is now just part of your story. There's a part of your mind that never sleeps. Never argues, and never forgets. It listens to everything you say, everything you repeat, everything you accept, whether it's true or false, useful or destructive. And it doesn't judge. It doesn't question. It simply obeys. That part is your subconscious. And it is the hidden engine behind every decision you make, every emotion you feel, and every result you create. Most people go their whole lives feeding it garbage, without ever realizing that it's the subconscious, not the conscious mind, that truly runs the show. You can spend years learning strategies, setting goals, reading books, but if your subconscious mind is full of fear, doubt, and limitation, none of it will stick. You will sabotage your own efforts and then wonder why nothing seems to work. Because the subconscious doesn't follow logic. It follows repetition. It follows emotion. It follows the dominant messages you send it, over and over again, whether you mean to or not. Every time you say, "I'm not good enough," your subconscious takes note. Every time you think, "I'll never make it," it absorbs that belief like water soaking into soil. And eventually, those seeds start to grow. Not because you want them to, but because you've rehearsed them enough that your subconscious begins to believe them as facts. And once that belief is in place, your mind and body will unconsciously adjust everything, your energy, your habits, your expectations, to match it. That's how powerful the subconscious is. It doesn't just listen, it steers. This is why you must guard it fiercely. Not with fear, but with focus. You must begin to treat every repeated thought, every word you speak, as a direct instruction to your future, because that's what it is. Your subconscious is always recording, and the more emotion you attach to a thought, the deeper it sinks. So when you speak in weakness, when you live in fear, when you entertain self-pity or guilt, you're not just expressing emotions, you're reinforcing a code that your mind will later execute, sometimes without you even realizing. But here's the good news. You can reprogram it. You can choose what goes in. You can decide what gets repeated. You can build new patterns. And the best way to do it is to start speaking with intention. Start feeding your subconscious a new message. A message of power. A message of vision. A message of identity that reflects who you choose to become, not who the world told you to be. This is why affirmations, when done right, are so effective. They're not about tricking yourself. They're about feeding your subconscious a new diet, nutrients instead of poison. But you can't do it once and expect change. It must be daily, consistent, emotional. You must write the vision and speak it aloud until your subconscious starts to believe it, until your actions naturally begin to align with it. Until doubt fades, not because you fought it, but because it no longer has space to live. And just as you must guard what you say to yourself, you must also guard what you allow others to say around you. The voices in your environment matter. The energy you absorb becomes part of your inner dialogue. Surround yourself with people who speak life, not limitation, who challenge you to grow, not settle, who remind you of your power, not your excuses, because every voice you allow in your space is feeding your subconscious. So, choose wisely. Protect your mornings. That first hour of the day, what you think, what you hear, what you feel, sets the tone for your subconscious programming. Don't wake up and immediately drown yourself in fear, noise, or comparison. Speak something powerful. Move with intention. Remind your mind who's in control. And repeat that process until it becomes automatic. Rewiring the subconscious doesn't happen in a single breakthrough. It happens in the quiet, disciplined repetition of new thoughts, in the slow burning away of old beliefs, in the steady, conscious replacement of fear with purpose. You'll know it's working when your reflexes change, when your first thought is courage, not doubt, when you act with clarity, not confusion, when your mind begins to serve you instead of control you. Guard your subconscious like your life depends on it, because it does. What you allow to enter becomes what eventually flows out. Feed it wisely, speak to it daily, and one day, you'll look around and realize the outer world has quietly shifted to match the new inner one you chose to build. Most people wake up and drift. They react to whatever the world throws at them, emails, news, moods, distractions, without ever asking the most important question, what am I creating with my mind today? They don't realize that every day is a rehearsal for the life they'll eventually live, that every thought, every word, every feeling is a vote for who they're becoming. And without a daily mental ritual, the mind doesn't just lose focus. It becomes a magnet for whatever is loudest, most urgent, or most familiar, even if that familiarity is rooted in self-doubt, fear, or failure. But the most successful, centered, and mentally sharp individuals do something different. They don't wait for clarity, they create it. They start every day with a mental ritual that reinforces their vision, their identity, and their mission. They don't rely on motivation, they rely on decision. And that decision is carved into the mind through repetition, through focus, through ritual, not as superstition, but as structure, a structure that shapes the way the mind thinks and eventually the way life responds. The ritual is simple, but its power lies in consistency. You begin by writing your definite chief aim, one sentence, one vision, one purpose that crystallizes the future you are committed to building. Not something vague or convenient, but something sharp, precise, unapologetically specific, because the subconscious cannot follow fog. It needs clarity, direction, certainty. And once you've written that aim, you read it aloud every morning and every night. Not as a chant, not as a checklist, but as a command. Why aloud? Because the spoken word vibrates, it carries energy. When you speak your vision, your subconscious listens. And over time, if your voice is consistent, if it carries emotion, belief, and repetition, it begins to accept what you're saying as truth. It begins to reorder your thoughts, filter your attention, and draw into your awareness the people, decisions, and opportunities that align with what you've declared. But words alone are not enough. You must see it. You must close your eyes and visualize your aim as already done. Feel what that success feels like. See the details. Imagine the posture, the expression on your face, the room around you, the people you're impacting. The more vivid, the more emotional, the more immersive the vision, the deeper it sinks into your subconscious. Visualization isn't fantasy, it's preparation, mental rehearsal. The mind doesn't know the difference between what is vividly imagined and what is physically real. And that's why elite performers, athletes, creators, they all use it. Because they know you become what you rehearse. Then comes the most overlooked part of the ritual, emotional involvement. You can't just recite your vision flatly like a school assignment. You must feel it. You must speak it as if your life depends on it. Because it does. The subconscious responds to emotion. That's why pain creates trauma so easily. It's charged with emotion. But you can use that same mechanism to program your future. Infuse your thoughts with hope, conviction, gratitude, hunger. Make it personal. Because when your mind is emotionally invested, it works overtime to make your vision real. And as you repeat this ritual day after day, something begins to shift. Slowly at first, then suddenly, you begin to notice changes, not just outside, but within. Your language becomes sharper, your focus becomes tighter, your decisions align more naturally with your goal. Doubt still visits, but it no longer stays. You stop needing validation because you've already validated your future internally. And with enough time, that future begins to manifest, quietly, gradually, then all at once. But only if you're consistent. This is where most people fail. They try the ritual for a few days, don't see immediate change, and quit. But this is not a magic trick. It's mental reconditioning. And like physical training, results come from repetition, not intensity. You don't get fit by working out once with passion. You get fit by showing up daily. The same is true here. Your destiny doesn't change with one inspired day. It changes through quiet, disciplined repetition of vision over time until it becomes identity. So ask yourself, do you have a ritual, or do you let the world decide what you think, feel, and become every day? If you don't have one yet, create one now. Write your aim, speak it aloud, visualize it clearly, feel it deeply. Repeat it daily, not as a task, but as a sacred responsibility to your future self. Because the most powerful transformation you will ever experience doesn't begin in action. It begins in the mind. And it's built, not with noise, but with ritual. There's a limit to what you can do alone. No matter how strong you are, no matter how disciplined your thoughts may be, there comes a point where the walls of your own mind become too familiar, too predictable. Your ideas start to loop. Your vision, no matter how bold, risks becoming an echo chamber of your own beliefs. That's why some of the greatest minds in history, people who were fiercely independent, still sought out others who shared their hunger, their faith, their mission. Because they understood a truth most people never realize. When two or more minds align with belief and purpose, a new mind is born. A third mind, a mastermind. This isn't just poetic language. It's real. When you connect with someone who doesn't just understand your vision, but believes in it with you, something changes. Your conversations are no longer about excuses. They become laboratories for growth. Your thoughts are no longer limited to what you alone can see. They expand, evolve, stretch into territories you never would have discovered by yourself. That's the power of the mastermind. It multiplies intelligence. It amplifies conviction. It accelerates action. But not just any group will do. A mastermind is not a gathering of people who gossip, complain, or stay stuck in their own stories. It's not about numbers. It's about alignment. One focused, committed ally is worth more than a dozen casual dreamers. The people you invite into your mental space must share your values. They must be bold enough to challenge your blind spots, brave enough to tell you the truth, and disciplined enough to hold you accountable, not to your comfort, but to your potential. When you speak your goals aloud in the presence of someone who believes in you, those goals become heavier, more real. The very act of voicing them, of giving them structure and breath, activates the subconscious in a different way. And when your words are met with energy, feedback, strategy, belief, your confidence rises. Suddenly, you're not alone in the fight. You're not climbing a mountain in silence. You're linked with others who are climbing their own mountains, and your strength becomes collective. The mastermind also sharpens your thinking. It forces clarity. You can't explain a vision to someone else if you're vague. You're forced to articulate, to refine, to focus. And that process alone can transform your direction. Sometimes we don't need more information. We need a mirror. We need someone to reflect back our inconsistencies, to remind us who we said we wanted to be, and to ask, are your actions matching that man? That kind of challenge, when given in trust, doesn't offend, it liberates. And just as your allies sharpen you, you sharpen them. The mastermind is never one-sided. Your energy, your insights, your presence, they matter. Even when you're struggling, your willingness to be honest about the struggle opens the door for someone else's breakthrough. In that space, growth becomes exponential. And over time, a new momentum emerges, not one built on pressure, but on trust, belief, and shared discipline. But here's what most people miss. Building a mastermind isn't about waiting for the perfect people to show up. It's about becoming the kind of person that others want to align with. Someone who speaks with clarity, who shows up with consistency, who values growth over comfort, truth over flattery, responsibility over excuses. When you become that person, you begin to attract others on the same frequency, and together, your progress accelerates. Not because life got easier, but because your circle got stronger. So, look around. Who's in your world right now? Who are you speaking to every day? Who's feeding your mind? Are you surrounded by people who remind you of what's possible or of what's safe? Are you walking with the courageous or sitting with the comfortable? Because whether you realize it or not, every conversation is shaping your belief. Every voice is either lifting your standards or lowering them. Decide now that you will no longer walk alone, not because you can't, but because you shouldn't. There's too much at stake. Find those who believe with you, who dream with you, who fight with you, and who expect more of you than you sometimes expect of yourself. That is the mastermind. That is the alliance that multiplies power. And when you move together, in belief, in action, in vision, there is no goal beyond your reach. There is a moment, silent but unmistakable, where everything begins to change. Not because the path becomes easier, but because the mind becomes clearer. That moment is decision, real decision. Not the kind people talk about lightly, not the kind made and then doubted 5 minutes later, but the kind of decision that burns away the escape routes and seals off the back doors. The kind that says, "This is what I want, this is who I am, and I will move forward no matter what." That kind of decision destroys doubt, because doubt cannot survive where clarity lives. Doubt thrives in hesitation. It feeds on delay, grows in indecision, and multiplies in minds that keep one foot in and one foot out. You can't negotiate with doubt. You can't reason with it, because doubt doesn't need logic. It needs time, and the more time you give it, the more convincing it becomes. That's why people with incredible potential never rise. Not because they're missing the talent or the drive, but because they're trapped in the gray space of maybe. Maybe I'll try. Maybe I'll wait. Maybe this isn't the right time. And while they circle their options, life moves on. Opportunities close. Energy fades. And the fire that once burned in them turns to smoke. But decision is fire. It is the internal act of closing the door on anything that doesn't serve the outcome. It brings the mind into alignment. It pulls the body into motion. It clears away the fog and reveals the path. Not because the path was hidden, but because the indecision clouded the vision. Once you decide, truly decide, your energy returns. Your focus sharpens. You begin to see actions you can take immediately, not someday. Because decision doesn't wait for ideal conditions. It creates them. This is the pattern of every breakthrough. First comes clarity, then comes the decision, then comes motion, and then, as if out of nowhere, results begin to appear. Not because life suddenly cooperates, but because you stopped giving energy to alternatives. When your energy is scattered, your results are scattered. But when your mind locks in, fully without apology, the world responds. People feel it. Circumstances begin to shift. And what once felt impossible begins to move toward you. Not by chance, but by force of focus. Think of the people you admire. Not for their charm or status, but for their presence. They carry a kind of certainty. You feel it before they even speak. It's not arrogance, it's alignment. They've made a decision about who they are, what they want, and what they're no longer available for. That decision speaks louder than any words. And that's what makes them powerful. Not just the goals they pursue, but the clarity with which they pursue them. But here's what most people miss. Indecision doesn't just block progress, it creates suffering. Every time you avoid making a decision, you prolong discomfort. You sit in mental limbo. You drain your emotional energy. And you allow fear to grow louder. The pain of indecision is worse than the pain of failure, because failure teaches. But indecision delays. It keeps you stuck in mental traffic, watching your own life pass you by. The solution isn't to know everything. It's to decide based on who you want to become. Because no decision is perfect, Every choice carries risk, but the greater risk is doing nothing, waiting for certainty, waiting for signs, waiting for permission. And while you wait, your confidence dies a slow death. But when you act, when you move, you get feedback, you gain experience, you build momentum, and that momentum becomes belief. So if you're standing in front of something right now, an idea, a dream, a direction, and you're waiting for the right moment, let this be it. Decide. Not because you're guaranteed success, but because you're done letting doubt dictate the pace of your life. Burn the bridge behind you. Close the option to retreat. And let the fire of decision light the path ahead. Your life will always reflect the strength of your decisions, not your intentions, not your hopes, but your choices. So make them boldly, stand behind them fully, and watch what happens when doubt no longer gets a seat at the table. Fear wears many masks. It doesn't always arrive screaming. Sometimes it shows up quietly, disguised as hesitation, disguised as logic, disguised as the cautious voice that says, maybe later, or play it safe. And that's what makes fear so dangerous. It doesn't need to destroy you all at once. It just needs to delay you long enough that you forget who you are. It chips away at your edge, softens your clarity, and before long, you're not living. You're coping. You're not growing. You're maintaining. And that's when life becomes a loop instead of a climb. The Stoics understood this well. They taught that most of what we fear is not the event itself, but our distorted anticipation of it. We don't fear failure. We fear what it will make us believe about ourselves. We don't fear rejection. We fear what it echoes from our past. We don't fear loss. We fear the story we think it will leave behind. Fear is rarely about the thing. It's about the meaning we've attached to the thing. And if you don't challenge that meaning, fear will lead your life while pretending it's protecting it. At the root of nearly every unfulfilled dream is fear. Not a lack of skill, not a lack of time, not a lack of opportunity, but fear. The kind that lives in silence, that whispers things like, you're not ready, or what if they don't approve? Or what if you fail and everyone sees? These fears are so common that we assume they're normal. But just because something is common doesn't mean it's natural. Fear may be universal, but courage is what makes us alive. There are six dominant fears that have paralyzed millions of minds for generations. Fear of poverty, fear of criticism, fear of ill health, fear of the loss of love, fear of old age, and fear of death. These six ghosts haunt people in subtle ways. They limit their decisions. They distort their self-image. They freeze their voice. But here's the truth most people never hear. These fears are not real. They're constructs, mental shadows, and like shadows, they disappear in the presence of action. That's the antidote. Movement. You cannot think your way out of fear. You must act your way through it. Because action exposes fear for what it is, a mental rehearsal of failure that hasn't happened yet. When you take the step anyway, when you speak the truth, make the call, take the risk, something breaks open, and the fear that once felt enormous begins to dissolve, not because it was conquered, but because it was never real to begin with. It was made of thought. And thought loses power when you stop feeding it. But action must be paired with awareness. You must learn to see fear early, to recognize it before it takes root. Pay attention to the excuses you make. Pay attention to the goals you delay. Pay attention to where your energy drops when you think of certain paths. That's not fatigue. It's fear in disguise. And when you can name it, you can dismantle it. Not by overpowering it, but by seeing through it. Fear thrives in avoidance, but once you face it, once you stare it down with calm awareness, it shrinks, it loses its hold. That's why the most courageous people aren't fearless. They just don't negotiate with fear anymore. They see it, they thank it for trying to protect them, and then they walk right past it. Because they know fear is the enemy of progress, the enemy of voice, the enemy of life fully lived. So if you've been stuck, if you've been circling a dream but never landing, ask yourself honestly, what am I afraid of? And then ask something even more powerful. What has that fear already cost me? Because fear isn't passive. It's stealing from you. It's stealing time, energy, connection, opportunity. And the only way to stop it is to stop feeding it. Act, move, speak. Not because you're ready, but because you're no longer willing to let fear write your future. The mind that refuses to be ruled by fear becomes unstoppable, not because it never falls, but because it rises every time, unshaken. Choose that mind, because fear may shout loudly, but it cannot withstand the voice of someone who has decided to live fully, loudly, and without apology. Look around at your life, not just the big things, the job, the relationships, the habits, but the little ones too. How you speak, how you carry yourself, what you tolerate, what you expect. All of it is a reflection of something deeper, something that rarely gets questioned, your identity. Not the name you were given, not the roles you've played, but the silent belief you hold about who you are. That belief, more than strategy, more than environment, more than even effort, is what shapes your reality. Because you will never rise above the story you believe about yourself. This is why two people can be given the same opportunity, the same time, the same tools, and one thrives while the other stalls. The difference is never just skill, it's the internal blueprint. If you secretly believe you're not good enough, not worthy, not the kind of person who wins, then no matter how hard you work, your subconscious will pull you back. Not because it hates you, but because it is loyal to the identity you've reinforced. And that identity governs everything. Your focus, your confidence, your decisions, your momentum. The mind is not designed to make you successful. It's designed to keep you consistent with who you think you are. That's why change is so hard. Not because it's impossible, but because it requires you to break an invisible contract. A contract you didn't even realize you signed. The one that says, this is who I am, and this is what someone like me is allowed to do. That contract isn't written in ink. It's written in repetition. And the only way to rewrite it is to become someone new at the level of belief, before the world sees it, before the evidence shows up, before you're even ready. This is where most people get stuck. They try to create a new life with an old identity. They set goals that conflict with the story they keep telling themselves. They try to act powerful while secretly believing they're powerless. They try to build wealth while identifying as someone who's always broke. And the subconscious picks up on the contradiction. It resists, it sabotages, it delays, because it hasn't been given a new instruction. That's why you must begin every transformation, not with action, but with identity. You must ask yourself, not what do I want to do, but who do I need to become? What kind of man achieves this result effortlessly? How does he speak? How does he think? How does he move through the world? Then you begin to act like that version of yourself. Not once, not occasionally, but until it becomes your new default. Until the behaviors are no longer forced but natural. Until the old identity has no room to breathe. This isn't pretending, it's alignment. Pretending is when you fake confidence with no intention of growing into it. Identity work is when you align your actions with the man you're committed to becoming, even before you feel fully ready. And the paradox is this: you'll never feel ready until you start, because readiness isn't a feeling, it's a decision. And the more often you choose to act from the new identity, the faster it becomes your truth. Language plays a powerful role here. Stop saying, "I'm trying to be consistent." Start saying, "I am a disciplined man." Stop saying, "I hope this works." Start saying, "This is who I am now." Speak your identity. Reinforce it. Defend it. Not just when things go well, but especially when you fall. Because the moment you fail, the old identity will try to creep back in. It will whisper, "See? You never changed." That's the test. And your job is to say, "No, this is who I am now, and I rise because of it." Reality follows identity, always. Not because the world is magical, but because the world responds to your energy, your posture, your decisions. And those are shaped by the person you believe yourself to be. So before you try to fix the outside, redefine the inside. Upgrade the character in your story. Walk like him, think like him, speak like him. Because eventually, quietly, consistently, undeniably, the world will begin to respond. Not to who you were, but to who you've become. There's a point in every journey where belief must become embodiment, where vision is no longer something you hold in your mind, but something you wear, in your voice, in your walk, in your silence, in the way you show up in ordinary moments when no one's watching. Because the truth is, the world is not changed by what you think privately, it's changed by what you live publicly. And if you want life to treat you like someone serious, someone powerful, someone destined for something more, then you must start speaking and walking like that person long before the world catches on. This is not about pretending to be someone you're not. It's about refusing to keep showing up as someone you no longer wish to be. The version of you that settles, that apologizes for wanting more, that shrinks so others feel comfortable. That version has served its time. It taught you survival. It got you here. But it cannot take you where you want to go. To get there, you must begin to act, speak, and carry yourself like the man you demand to become. Not because you're faking it, but because you're claiming it. Every thought you repeat is casting a vote for who you believe you are. Every sentence you speak is programming your subconscious with either strength or self-doubt. Every step you take, every expression on your face, every decision you make throughout the day, it all tells the world what level you've accepted for yourself. And the world, in turn, responds not to your potential, but to your permission. You can be brilliant, talented, overflowing with ideas. But if you carry yourself with hesitation, the world will hesitate with you. If you speak your goals like apologies, the world will mirror back shame. But when you speak with clarity, when you move with intention, when you live as if your life already reflects your highest standard, something begins to shift. Slowly, then suddenly. People sense it. Doors begin to open, not because life has magically changed, but because you did. And now, you're showing up in a way that makes your environment take notice. You've stopped negotiating your worth. You've stopped explaining your value. You've stopped lowering your energy just to be accepted. And you've started doing the thing most people are too afraid to do. You've started living like your future self. Now, before the results, before the approval, before the validation. This shift is not always comfortable. You will feel resistance from others, from your old patterns, even from your own mind. You'll be tempted to go back to speaking small, thinking small, living small, not because you like it, but because it's familiar. But if you stay there, you'll betray everything you say you want. So instead, you rise, you speak differently, you walk differently, you move as if every word you speak is a declaration, not a maybe. You walk into every room like you belong, because you do. You carry yourself not with arrogance, but with presence. The kind of presence that says, I know who I am, and I will no longer live beneath that truth. And it doesn't end there. You carry that identity into your habits, into how you manage your time, your energy, your emotions. You carry it into your routines, your goals, your relationships. You no longer tolerate what weakens you. You no longer explain what makes you strong. You begin to protect your vision, not just with boundaries, but with embodiment. Because now you understand, change doesn't begin when your life gets better. It begins when your behavior matches your identity. So from this moment forward, wear the crown, even if no one sees it yet, especially then. Hold your head like someone who leads. Speak like someone who's already arrived. Walk like someone who knows exactly where he's going. Because when your inner world and outer behavior align, when you stop waiting and start living as the man you are becoming, life bends. It listens. It rearranges itself to match the force of your belief. And slowly, silently, inevitably, it follows your lead. You don't need permission to become who you were always meant to be, just the courage to start walking like him. Everything we've spoken about in this episode leads back to one unshakable truth. You are the architect of your inner world, and that world becomes the blueprint for everything outside of you. Not in theory, not in poetry, but in reality. Your thoughts are not passive. They are creative instruments. Your beliefs are not background noise. They are commands. Your identity is not fixed. It is a decision, one you must remake every day. Not just with intention, but with action. You've seen now that life does not bend to hope. It bends to conviction. It bends to clarity. It bends to the person who dares to move with certainty, even before the world gives them permission. That's who you are now. Not someone chasing change, but someone creating it. Not someone waiting to be chosen, but someone choosing themselves. So don't let this episode be a temporary spark. Let it be the ignition of a new direction. Wake up tomorrow and do what most never do. Decide who you are, repeat it until it's etched in your bones, and walk into the world as if it's already yours. Because if you think like that, speak like that, act like that, the world won't just notice, the world will move. And one day, you'll look back, not surprised by how far you've come, but proud that you had the courage to begin. Now go, think with power, move with belief, live with purpose, and let life follow your lead.